But here we are at the last class of at least our chabura on Shaar B'Tachon, even though we are only going to finish through Perek Gimel. And interestingly, like this last class, deals with two of like the central questions about B'Tachon. So that is like really interesting that it sort of like got until the end of Perek, of the third Perek, that kind of like I feel like takes like a really big chunk out of what we mean when we talk about B'Tachon. So here we go. We're gonna do it. Let's just say hi. Hi, Carrie. Oh, and B7. Hi, Bacheva. Hold on a second. Let me just turn off that noise that drives me berserk. Okay. All right, here we go, guys. We're on our last chabura. Here we go. Okay, I'm going to share my screen. Carrie's still connecting to audio. Interesting. And let's go. Okay, so again, he's going to really hit at the jugular of the questions that I think we usually mean when we talk about B'Tachon, but we have it now here. Okay, here we go. V'imhu magbir avodas Elokim. Okay, so he's about to describe. Remember last time he talked about this basic principle that's actually super, super interesting. He's going to get back to it also here about the fact that when we talk about B'Tachon, we don't just mean believing that Hashem is going to give us whatever it is that we want, right? Like we talked about that before. B'Tachon starts usually when we want something or need something that we don't have easy access to, right? So here he's talking about, that's basically where B'Tachon starts. And it's not just about believing that Hashem is going to give it to you, but it's this two parts, right? The first part is that we believe that there's a gezeirah of Hashem, and whenever Hashem wants something to happen, it happens. And when he doesn't want something to happen, it doesn't happen. Clear and simple. And there's a second part too, which is that Hashem made his world so that things happen from reasons, from like normal, regular, natural, organic cause and effect. And we're in charge in a certain way of engaging with those cause and effects and then believing that it's not those cause and effects that cause it. It's Hashem's gezeira that causes it. But also us, as part of our avodas Hashem, being able to jump deeply into those cause and effects, okay? So he's about to talk about the one person who basically gets like a free pass. Like this is the person who gets a free pass and doesn't have to deal with the sibos and only could deal with the first thing. Like it's only a gezeira. And again, we're going to see it described. You're going to see that it's like, here's our level and this is like this person's level, right? It's like, you can't even see my hand. It's out of like the Zoom picture. So again, we're basically going to be like disqualified from this, which is a very positive thing because it shows us that we are certainly people who need to be engaging with the causes that are the normal way that we would get what we want from the world and then believing on top of that, that it's the gezeirah of Hashem and the success or failure of that is not in our hands and we're not judged by that. Okay. So if he makes Hashem, avodas Hashem, like the number one thing that trumps all others, and hi Carrie. And he always chooses Yiras Hashem. Ubotech bo benyanei Torah so, and he always believes that his Torah and every other part, ve'olamo, every part of his Torah, every part of his world is completely he entrusts Hashem. V'sar min hadvarim hamagunim, and he stays away from all bad things. V'kosev l'midos tovos, and he longs for midos tovos. Right, like if he's in a situation where, like, he, you know, we all encounter this, where like you really want to snap back at somebody, and you really want to take revenge, and you really want that person to have bad, and you really want, right? Instead, what he actually longs for is to have good midos, even in those situations. V'lo yivat b'menucha, and even when he has good, he doesn't forget about Hashem an ounce than when he has bad. V'lo yita al hashalva, and he's not pulled after peace and like relaxation. He wants to work. V'lo yesi'eyu ha-yetzer, and his yetzer does not have any sway over him. V'lo yifas b'chishvei ha-olam, and he is not seduced by the sorcery of the world, meaning things in the world that, you know, we understand rationally they're not good for us, but we still want them, like chocolate chip cookies and stuff like that, right? He's not at all persuaded by those kinds of things in the world, okay? Yistalik me'olav Torah ha-gilgul v'ha-sibuv v'ha-ba'as tarfo mi, okay? And so that person is disqualified from having to engage in the sibo. So that person could just have B'Tachon, could just believe that it's a gezeirah of Hashem and not have to engage in anything, and he gets a pass. Why? Because of the two reasons that he said last time, which obviously we all remembered without having looked it up, right? Of course, wink, wink, right? Which is that we said that Hashem gives us the things that we have to do in this world because of Mibnei Stalkus Shnei HaPanim Hanis Kari Me'alav, right? There's two reasons that Hashem makes us do those sibos. The first is habechina, to test us, right? Can we, like, where are we holding? And where are we holding in terms of kochi ve'utzem yadi? Could we engage in things in this world and still not believe that it's ourselves? So again, he doesn't need to be tested. He's already passed that test. V'habe'ita batova, right? The other thing we talked about is that having to engage in those SIBOs develops us as a person, and it makes us into better and less spoiled, right? And more gritty, quality character people. Having to engage in the SIBOs of the world instead of just throwing up our hands and being like, it's just bitachon and Hashem will just make it happen, and I have no part here, right? That doesn't develop us as people. But he doesn't need to be developed, and he doesn't need to be tested because he's already qualified. Okay, so that person doesn't need to engage in the SIBOs. So happily, kind of, I mean, I think it's great. Like, we don't have to worry about whether or not we're that person. We're not that person. Yay, okay? So here he goes. Now he's about to ask, he's about to get into the jugular of bitachon, okay? And he's about to ask basically tzadik v'rala, okay, that question. Here he goes. And he's only going to take a few paragraphs, and then he's going to go back to the SIBOs from before. V'im yomar ha'omer, if you say, listen, bitachon sounds great. It sounds really nice. But my big problem is that when I'm learning about bitachon and I'm thinking about bitachon and I look around at the world, it doesn't really pan out that way. This is always the central question of Emunah, and we have to be able to acknowledge it. He acknowledges it, and he's about to quote troves of Nevi'im who also acknowledge it. Here we go. So again, he keeps using his central like analogy here is Parnasa, is getting what you need to survive in terms of like baseline, like bottom level of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? But it doesn't have to be about Parnasa. Parnasa is just the example in which you could replace anything you want in here, okay? So again, we see tzaddikim who seem to be doing all this Avodas Hashem, who seem to even qualify the paragraph that we just read. They're really, really, really good people. They're some of the best people we know, and they still don't have what they need, right? Whatever that is, Parnasa or otherwise. Lo yizdamin ham tarfam, ela acharei ha'amel vehigi rabim, me'anshei averos, again, so you see, like, let's say in this example of Parnasa, you have some people who are suffering and they barely have what they want and they're barely scraping it through and they're really good people. And you have some people who like won the lottery and they're just like the worst guy in town. What's with that? Right? And again, this is a phenomenon that we can acknowledge that we do see. It's not so simple that good people have good stuff and bad people have bad stuff. Right, we are not the first people who are asking this question. There are many people who have asked it beforehand, and he goes and he quotes Yirmiyahu, and he quotes Chavakuk, and he quotes Chavakuk again, and Chavakuk again, and he quotes Tehillim, and he quotes Tehillim again, and he quotes Malachi. And that's just some. And then he goes, Baharbe Kazah, and there's a lot more. Okay? So if anyone wants validation that this is a big question, there you go in the Nevi'im, right? Nobody's afraid to ask it. We ask it all the time in Jewish theology. And he's about to say, we're not going to give it a fluff answer, right? The answer is not, well, it's the ways of Hashem, and we have bitachon. It's a bitachon sefer. That should be the answer. What do you mean? We have bitachon. It's all in the hands of Hashem. So he says this. Ach, hiniyach ha-navi ha-tshuva beveyer ilas zeh. Mipnei she-ilas kol echa min ha-tzadikim ha-nifchanim. Listen. He says this. And we talked about this in the Chabura called Big Questions in Judaism, which I think was like 2016, so it was many years ago. But he says this, which is, listen, we say we don't know. That has to be the answer to that question. But it's not we don't know because there aren't any reasons. It's we don't know because there are a lot of reasons. And when we're looking at someone else's life and asking that question about somebody else, we can't answer the question. We need to ask the question, and the answer to that question needs to be, I don't know. It could be this, and it could be that, and it could be that, and it could be that about other people. We have to answer it specifically about ourselves. And he doesn't quite tell us how, like how we know any of these for ourselves, but I guess that's why we all have rabbis. I say l'chol rav, right? Like that's why we have that. But he's going to say, listen, the actual answer is there's lots of reasons and different reasons for different people. There isn't one reason that applies to everybody, right? Including the reason of we don't know, it's in God's hands and God makes those decisions and we have nothing to do with it, right? That's not the answer that applies to everybody's life. Everybody has a different reason. The same thing happens on the other side. Bad people who get good things in the world, they also have their own reasons, okay? And then he goes and quotes some things, and he says basically, we don't know looking into it. So there's lots of reasons, and we don't know which one it is. But let's explain this a little bit more, because I want you to feel a little bit more satisfied with this question and answer. That's what he says. I'm going to explain it a little bit more, because I want you to at least be like a little bit satisfied with the answers. V'amar, let's say. So again, the tzaddik doesn't have parnasa as the quintessential or whatever prototypical example. Again, unless he works with it and suffers over it. Okay, the number one thing that we always go to, and it's not the only thing that he's going to mention, is that maybe there's a sin that prevents him from getting what he needs.
And then he quotes a bunch of things. Again, like, that's how he knows it. He's not making it up. He's quoting it from Mishlei. He's learned this from the Torah. Okay, so Rav Leuchter actually spent a long time on this one, which was really, really fascinating. He said, this is the one that's always the first mentioned and that we feel the least settled with. This piece of, like, maybe it's because somebody has a sin. And he's like, it's because we're so reticent from two reasons, right? We don't want to say that we see a tzaddik who seems to be a tzaddik and then something really bad happens to them and we could just dismiss it and be like, oh, well, I'm sure that they're actually not a tzaddik. Okay, shkayach. So, like, now I know because this person looks like a tzaddik, but look, they're getting bad. So it's got to be a sin. Like, all right, you're a tzaddik, sure. Right? He's like, obviously, we don't want to do that. He's like, but it's less a question. He's like, when we dismiss this piece of it from ourselves and from other people, what we also dismiss is the massive amount that Hashem cares about good and evil. And I never thought about it that way. He goes into the whole thing of Pilagesh Begivo, which is like this whole like war basically that happens between Binyamin and the rest of the Shvatim in the Sefer Shoftim. And he's like, you see how far Hashem goes to eradicate evil. And we see that all over the Torah. Hashem really cares about good and evil. And he cares about good, and we like to focus there, and we should. But he also cares about not things not being bad, and it's okay for us to pay a little bit of attention to that every once in a while. And it was just like, it was kind of mind-blowing to me when he said that. And he said that's also the answer to the question, if somebody is going through a hard time, right? He's like, he gets this basically from his students, who if he's a Seilech HaRav, and they're going through a hard time, and they go to him, and they say, what should I be working on, right? And they go through what's happening to them and what could they decipher inside of it and what, you know, what piece of avodah there speaks to them, and they choose something that's practical. And then they say to him, like, oh, come on. All right, like, this whole bad thing that I'm struggling with, you're telling me that I'm going to work on this, like, little sliver over here in my avodah that fits me and that makes sense, and, like, that's really going to change this big thing that's happening? And he's like, yes, because you are taking an actual step towards eradicating some sort of the good and evil within your own soul. You're eradicating some of the bad within you. He says, like, that's the parish. Tzaddik viralo. It's not a tzaddik and he has bad. It's a tzaddik viralo, but part of him is bad. Tzaddik viralo. He's still bad while he's a tzaddik. And most tzaddikim are like that, just like most humans are like that. Almost all humans are like that. So he's like taking a practical, it's also like encouraging in a certain way, taking a practical step, even if it's a sliver of a step and it's very small, towards that ralo, that little piece of bad that's in ourselves. That is a huge deal and could shift everything that's happening in our own spheres, which I thought was cool. Okay. Second reason, v'yishya al derech temura ba'olam haba. Again, so Hashem is like somehow paying us back for something in this world so that it stacks out for us in the next world. And again, so those two are the ones that have to do with him individually. The next three, he's going to give three more, like snap, 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 that are all for the klal. So it's not in the individual, it's for the klal. Which means that somehow, it could be that the individual itself, himself or herself, has a cheshbon of why Hashem is giving them that bad thing. Or it could be that something the klal needs to learn from that individual. Meaning, that good and bad that happens to a person, sometimes, again, especially a tzaddik, I guess that's the topic, a good and bad that happens to a tzaddik, sometimes supersedes their own schar v'onesh. It's not always about the person's schar v'onesh. It could also be about the community and what the klal needs to know. Which is, again, why we look at somebody and we don't know. We don't know if it's them or if it's a klal thing. And that's for a person to answer about themselves and not us to answer about them. Okay, so there's also that something happens to the individual so that other people see how they handle it and see how they deal with it and they get inspired or they learn from it or it makes a kiddush Hashem in some way or another. Right, so basically their experience of their own lives has affected the klal in a significant way. And that could be another reason that a person deals with something. Or it could be in contrast to his generation. So it sounds like they're bad and he gets bad either to prove him as like specifically better in contrast to them. Again, it's I don't totally understand how this is differentiated from the previous one, from number three. Rav Leuchter, when he said it, it implied that like because they're bad, he has to be better, and that like smears off on them. Either like legitimately in this world or like in the next world. But again, it's a klal based reason. And the fifth one is also a klal based reason. That his generation is off and he's a tzaddik and he should have paid more attention to them. He should have been more engaged in their stuff and making them better. And so this is like either kind of a punishment or kind of like a lesson. Again, like not completely clear. Okay. Aval, Toba Sakel Yisbarach al Harasha Yesh. Okay, so I'm actually going to skip this, and then he says like, here's all different reasons that a Russia, on the flip side, that a Russia could get good. Okay. And again, the point is here again, there's a lot there. It's not like a, we don't know, it's above us. The whole point of faith is that everything is above us. That's not really a Jewish hashkafa. That's not how we deal with that. We're like, we can't really answer that question. And the whole point is that we can't answer that question. We're not like that. We're like, usually we understand. We understand the general klalim of good and evil, and good people get good stuff and bad people get bad stuff. And that's why it's jarring to us when it doesn't happen. But even as we understand the klal of it, there are specifics, and the specifics have many reasons, none of which we could apply onto other people, but all of which other people could apply onto themselves and try to, okay? V'kevan, she'izbar chiyuv ha'gilgo. Okay, so now he's going back to the Sibos piece, okay? And he's going to say something like, also, I think this is like fascinating. And then this is like the last point that we're making here, and then we're closing out Parak Gimel, and we're closing out this Chabura, Shkaya. And I might do like a crash course for next time, like both because I have to review also, and I didn't do it for this time, but would have liked to. Okay, back here. Kevan sheizbar chiyuv hagilgol al hasibos al bnei adam nevayer ata ki ein kol adam chayav lachzor al kol siba misibos atarif ki sibos rabos. He's gonna say, remember we were just talking about before we went to the tzadik v'ralo piece. We were talking before about everyone's obligation to bitachon is again if you want something to happen, for example, to make a livelihood, if you're struggling with that. Parnasa, then you want it to happen. And we're responsible both for understanding that it's a gezeirah of Hashem, whatever does happen or what doesn't happen, and for being involved in the sibos, the regular things in the world that make it come apart. So he says, how do you know which ones to do? Okay, and an example here again is Parnasa as an example. Rav Leichter says something also fascinating. He's like, Parnasa is even itself, it's not about money. If it was about money, the example would have been like winning the lottery. It would have been getting like a, what's it called, like a land flow or whatever, like a something, a land flow, a landmine of like cash. He's like, Parnasa is about your place in the world. It's actually much larger. Even this example that prototypically is actually larger than itself. He's like, Parnasa means that you have a skill that's needed by other people, and that's why they're willing to pay you for it. So it's not only about your actual Parnasa. It's about where in the world you yourself are needed vis-a-vis other people. And again, that's also an example. It's also being anything else that somebody needs being put in here, okay? So let's say you're trying to choose a profession. Let's say you're trying to choose a way. That's what he's talking about, a way of making money. But not for money itself, also for your place in the world. So he goes, not everybody is meant to take the same path, which again, there are certain streams that make it feel like there are several legitimate paths or one legitimate path or several legitimate paths. And he's like mefurish in Chovos HaLevavos. That's not where he's going. Mehan, niklos shetarchan me'at. But okay, so he's about to say there are certain, I'm going to skip part of this, he's going to say there are certain professions that aren't very stressful, like sewing and like being a merchant and hiring other people to do different kinds of work. And there's like some occupations that are very heavy, like mining and like tanning and like doing something that makes silver like a higher quality, which is like so interesting. He's not, there's lawyer and there's doctor and there's accountant, right? Like those are examples nowadays. In his days, it's like tanning and mining and smelting metals, like sewing and contracting. It's like fascinating, right? Like it's just such a different landscape of like what the Jews are doing in their lives. Okay. If somebody is strong in his body and weak in his mind, he should pick one of them that's labor intensive that he could actually deal with. But someone who's like an intellectual and his body isn't very strong, he should pick something that works for him. So here's the basic principle, which is not a huge chiddush until you think about how it is that we generally talk and think about these kinds of things, which is that every human, and that's where he's about, okay, I'll let him say it. Ulechol adam yesh chefetz b'malacha oschora mibli zulaso kvar hitbia hakel la betivo Okay. Every person is drawn towards something else in life. And again, we're just using profession as a thing, right? People are drawn towards different things in different ways. Different people are drawn towards different professions because of who they are and the skill set and the personality and the body and all sorts of other things and the mind that Hashem has given them. Okay. And our point, bitachon, like part of the avoda of bitachon starts with recognizing who we are and the things that we've been given by God, and doing those things first and foremost that settle well with us and that fit well with us. And then, again, the second half is always going to be the success of or failure of those things. That's where we have bitachon. So it's not, that's where we have bitachon. That's where we have the second part of bitachon, which is saying it's all gezeirah of Hashem. The first part is also bitachon. This process is our avodas Hashem lichatchila. It's not like, oy vey, it would be really nice if all of us could sit and learn and Hashem would magically give us, like, schar. Again, Rav Leuchter uses his examples all the time in this, but, like, we can't, so we have to go to work, and it's not the d'eved. He's like, it's not the d'eved. If you look at yourself and you say to yourself, you know, my skill set says, again, like, he's talking to men, but, like, my skill set says that I should sit and learn, then you should sit and learn. But he's like, most of you are not going to say that. Then that's not where your avodas Hashem lies. There is no such thing as being prescribed our avodas Hashem in any way from our society. It only can happen from an individual process of looking over at ourselves. And again, the same way, if we're talking about, you know, dating and trying to figure out what hishtadlus, so to speak, we have to do and have bitachon. The sibos that settle well with us and our personality are the things that we should do. And the ones that don't, it seems to be, are the things that we should not do. And then we have bitachon, and it's all from Hashem. And success and failure is in His hands and not ours. And along with everything else in life. So everyone has a certain will and is drawn towards certain things. When you're doing this sibos, when you're engaging the sibos, the natural things that usually cause the thing that you want to happen, that you're believing that is from a gezeirah of Hashem, and He's going to give it to you. Okay, so then he goes into all these animals. He's like, we see this all over the place, that Hashem specifically gives different animals the tools that they need to do their jobs in the world, right? Birds look different. Carnivores look different than herbivores, and birds look different than foxes, and lions look different than creatures that eat, you know, grass only, right? Like, they're all given their own tools. And when we look at our own human selves, we should see the same thing. And when we look at other people, we should say the same thing. We should see all sorts of different kochos that compel a person in a different way. And we're not trying to fight ourselves. Avodas Hashem is not trying to fight that. It's trying to work with that in every cheshbon of the sibos that we do, that we're believing that Hashem is helping us with. We see that different people are kind of like set up for different kinds of things to do in the world, where they're needed in the world. And someone who finds this, again, like this longing, this drawing towards a certain profession, pick that. If there's something that works, if there's a certain siba that works for you, that seems like it fits you in this world, that's where you should go. And that is your lechachila avodas Hashem, in getting whatever it is that you want, livelihood and otherwise. And when you're engaging in that and you've picked a siba that works for you and fits you, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, don't despair. Because that's the part that we engage in, that second part of saying it's from Hashem. And it's a gezeirah here, and I'm doing my part and He's doing His part. Right? It doesn't mean that it's like magical that once we do our sibos, it's always going to work. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's okay. And it doesn't mean that we're doing the wrong thing. We're still doing lechachila avodas Hashem, and that's what we're judged on, not whether or not it is or isn't successful. But that Hashem is going to give him what he needs. And he has bitachon. And when he's doing this process, of again, doing the natural processes that gets him what he wants and what he needs from this world, and that he believes that Hashem is going to give him, he should have kavana that he is doing his avodas Hashem. It's beautiful. He should have kavana that he is lechatchila doing his avodas Hashem. Not because, oy vey, he didn't get it, and Hashem made some mistake, and he should have really given me this, but he didn't give me this, and da da da. None of that. None of that. Hashem did this on purpose. He made me who I am and gave me my tchunos and my personality and my strengths and my weaknesses. And from that, I'm choosing my path forward one step at a time, starting from my life. That's where we started also in this bitachon about, right? Starting from my life, looking around at what the world is asking of me and what it's telling me my avoda is and that it fits me and that the next step is the only thing that's asked of me here in bitachon. And that is my avodas Hashem l'charchila. And look at what he quotes. He's talking about, again, someone doing labor to make money, right? Basically, that's his example. So, to make money to eat. And he doesn't quote from Bereshis, Bezeas hapecha tocha lecha, the curse of Adam HaRishon, right? Ugh, so bad, Adam. You messed up. And since you messed up, you're going to have to work for your food. That's not what he quotes. He quotes a pre-existing pasuk before that, which is this. That he is engaging in avodas Hashem when he works in the mud, in the dirt, planting and tilling, like it says, that Hashem took man and he put him in Gan Eden la'avda u'lashamra, to work it and to guard it. L'chadchila, Hashem wanted man to work. It wasn't, again, this read of it is that it wasn't just a curse, or that when we engage in this process of checking ourselves and engaging in the work that our life seems to be asking of us, it's not like a b'diavad chaval, we messed up, we have to do this. It's a l'chadchila. This is why we were put in the world. Okay, so then he says, like, also, you know, in whatever ways we use the world and we use the different things that are available to us, we should have kavana, okay? Whether or not it works or whether or not it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. We've done our part. And again, if he's doing this, then it's like a promise, sounds like it, from Hashem, that like he's not going to get hurt in this process, right? It's not going to come back and bite him. I think this is the last paragraph. Yes. Al Yachshov, Kitarfa Ma'amad al Siba, Yadua, Vishaim Timna Hasiba Hahi, Mimanu, Lo Yavo Basiba Acharas. And he shouldn't, like, again, put all his eggs in the basket, that he needs to be, that this one thing that he's doing, this one thing that he's trying, that has to be, and if not, it's like a big failure. All right, that's not how it works. We're looking at our lives, we're adjusting ourselves based on what our lives seem to be asking us and what the need that fits who we are and what we could do is at any given time. Aval Yivtach Elohim, Bitarfo Vyeda. All those different means that we could take are all equal to Hashem. He doesn't like one more than the other. There is not like an objective rating scale here. It is just that he checks ourselves. So again, like, let's backpedal and like learn what we can from here. It's that this is like the basic two ingredients in bitachon. When we have something that we're going for that is either hard, easy or hard, but often hard, because that's when we're struggling with bitachon, there's always two recipes. There's us engaging in the world around us and the sibos, the different reasons that seem to be able to get us there. There are troves of them all the time. And our process is to look at ourselves and to look at our lives and look at what fits ourselves and our lives and to engage in that process of trying to get there in a natural, normal way. And believing that l'chadchila, that is our avodas Hashem. And that is why Hashem put us in this world. And we have kavana as we're doing it. This is our avodas Hashem. And at the same time, whether or not those things succeed or fail, and sometimes they succeed and sometimes they fail, we believe that it's a gezeirah from Hashem. If they succeed, it's because Hashem wanted it to. If they don't succeed, it's because Hashem wanted it to. And in fact, we're not judged on that at all. Our process, and again, what he said of last time, is that leads us to becoming more human, becoming more developed. That is the process that builds us as people. And again, what he said this time in the Tzadik V'Ralo piece is that any little step that we can make towards that is valuable to Hashem, right? We don't want to discount how important any tiny step that we take towards engaging in those sibos, engaging with ourselves, trying to be better people, et cetera, on that path. Every piece of that is valuable to Hashem, and we have no idea what impact it could and does make.